put the menu button. I think it, in my opinion, in my opinion, it's too much work for us, you know, to get finished in the time and get paid in the time that they can really use it.
This is a shortcoming, but the thing is, it's still quite early, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people are taking interest in showing.
Bitte ein Mikro, weil die beide sind total leer.
It would just be one person.
Yeah, but if it doesn't change, then there is no much future. Because it's easy to make the first try or like this, and then you get a version program over here. The advantage is to be not so big. Yeah, I didn't get any connection.
Yeah, it's okay. No, it's can people read it?
Yeah.
CSound, as most of you know, is it's very powerful and efficient audio programming language. The nice thing about CSound is its origins can be traced directly back to Max Matthews, who we developed, who started with his music. So I wrote the music software in the late 60s. It's nice that was the very beginning of computer music in a sense, and it's nice that we can still use a system that can be traced back to that kind of the big bang of computer music. And it kind of makes you realize that they must have done something right, because it's still in use and still being developed almost 40 years on. CSound, as we know today, was ported by Barry Verco in 1985, kind of took the music and language and turned it into a CSound, but it can still be traced back to the work that Max Matthews did. CSound is free, it's cross-platform, very efficient, and it's supported by a team of dedicated developers, of which we're kind of privileged to have some here today. Victor Lazzarini, John Fitch, and Stevie Mee. So others couldn't make it, but CSound is a command line program, essentially. There are front ends for CSound. Stephen demonstrated his blue front end yesterday, which is an extremely impressive piece of software. But essentially, the classic CSound is just a command line program. Users write text files and they contain instruments and scores. That's another nice feature of CSound, is that if coming from a formal music background, as I did, to work with the idea of instruments and scores in a computer language is quite nice. And as a composer, it wasn't very difficult for me to get involved in writing music, because I always have written for an instrument and I've provided a score. So it's nice that I can use a similar paradigm in CSound. CSound instruments, as you kind of know, are created by connecting little black boxes, processing boxes called outputs together. You put all these outputs together into an instrument, and then you run the instrument with a score file. Connecting all the different outputs together creates your different signal processors. It can be a basic synthesis patch that's got our instrument that's going to create sound from scratch, or it can be used to process live audio, or it can be used to process sound files. Once the instruments then are complete, users compile them into audio. CSound is referred to as a sound compiler. In that it's different from it compiles audio instead of applications. The CSound Host API is something that came to fruition in the last couple of years with the advent of CSound 5. It's amazing now, because it's opened up CSound to a host of developers who can now use the API in their own applications. So we can harness all the power of CSound in our own applications. So CSound API can be used to control instances of CSound through a set of different calling functions which you can enter the API. Things you can do is, like, you can do simple things like start and stop an instrument. You can send information to an instrument. You can take information out of the instrument. It's really quite powerful. There's just lots and lots of different things you can do with the CSound API. So it's what we've developed is a type of plugin, and as you know, plugins are libraries which extend the functionality of a particular software. The host application then has to be capable of loading these plugins. Usually what will happen is the host will search a particular directory and look for the libraries and then load them up. The advantage of using plugins, of course, is that third-party developers don't have to recompile the entire system if they want to add functionality to it. And it's no coincidence that softwares like CD, or CSound, and PD use plugins as well. Like, you can have loadable plugins, loadable opcodes, even all types of objects in PD are just essentially plugins too. So it's nice, and it's great, because then you can kind of, ideally, you can then share plugins between different hosts and support them. Lazba, as some of you again know, is an acronym for Linux Audio Developer Simple Plugin API. And it came to fruition in around the year 2000 after a discussion on the Linux, the audio developers list. And through the efforts of Paul Davis, Richard First, and Stefan Vesterveld. And they created a framework for developing the Linux audio plugins. The nice thing, it's a very simple framework. And the nice thing is, I was surprised at how easy it is to compile a Linux audio plugin on, say, for example, a Windows machine. And it just made me think that when they were coming up with this, they put a lot of thought into just making it very simple, and so simple it really is, really easy to port to other operating systems as well. So it's not just Linux-based systems that you can run Landscape plugins on. Of course, the flip side is that you have to have a host that's capable of loading Landscape plugins, and currently on other systems, for example, Audacity is the only host I know of in Windows that will load Landscape plugins, but maybe that might change. So the focus of today's presentation is on CS Landscape. Essentially, it's a tool that Victor and I have developed for developing audio plugins. And it simplifies the task of developing audio plugins. It lets users develop audio plugins without needing to know a low-level language like C or C++ or something like that. Essentially, it provides a link between the CSound API, Landscape, and the host application. So, and it also remains true to one of the main objectives of the Landscape project, and that's to create a simple architecture for the development of plugins. So it was important to us when we were developing it to try and remain true to the main objective of the Landscape project. In terms of implementation, all Landscape plugins, this is just a traditional Landscape plugin, they must declare a plugin structure, that's for the audio buffers, etc. Instantiate the plugin by calling user-defined function, which returns a Landscape handle. They have to register the plugin using a user-defined Landscape descriptor function. Basically, when the Landscape descriptor function is called, it returns a plugin structure, and that's registered then with the host. It then connects ports to data locations using the user-defined connect function. These ports are like the GUI commands, or the kind of GUI styles and things like that you have in the host. And then you process lots of samples in the run function, and then you freeze your memory. So that's traditional Landscape plugin. The main difference between a traditional Landscape plugin and CS Landscape is that while a typical Landscape plugin will process the audio in run function, CS Landscape takes the audio and routes it to an instance of CSound. And then it takes the audio back after CSound has done the processing and sends it back to the host. So, in terms of implementation, each plugin structure holds a pointer to an instance of the CSound class, an array to hold control values, and an array to hold the names of the software bus channels, which will be used for parameter control. So this is the way that we can communicate with the instance of CSound is through the software bus. So we can set up a software bus that's going to, that CSound and CS Landscape plugin can communicate on, which is a new feature of CSound, and it's quite a powerful feature as well. Just means that you can also with that you can have different instances of CSound talking to each other and things like that. So it's quite nice. So the steps taken in the actual operation of the plugin then are as follows. So when the plugin is loaded, all CSound files which reside in the plugin folder are going to be passed. The data from each one is assigned to various members of the Landscape descriptor structure, which is then returned from the Landscape descriptor function. Okay, so in order to retrieve each unique plugin, so what's going to happen is when it loads up, plugin is going to look through a particular folder, and every time it sees a CSD file, a valid CSD file, it'll load up an instance of that plugin. So you've essentially got one library that will load up unlimited number of plugins, as many plugins as you have CSV files in your folder. When a plugin is instantiated, CSound Landscape returns a CSound instance, or creates a CSound instance, and then compiles it to prospective CSound source code. So it's these instances basically that this instance will run a particular CSound instrument. So each time the plugin is instantiated, CSound, you call CSound compile, it's an API function, and that's going to get the instrument going. This is followed by connection of ports to data locations and the assignment of control values to the array of floats which can be accessed from inside the main run function. This is important because this lets you, with this, we send the information to the software bus that then talks to the instance of CSound. So that's how we get the communication going. When the host runs the plugin, blocks of samples are processed in the run function. And it's in this run function then that CSound, we call this the low-level API functions, CSound SP in and CSound SP out. And that's how we can route the audio between the CS Landscape, CSound, and the host. So it's quite simple. Finally, inside the processing loop, a call is made to CSound perform KSNPS, and that's where the actual processing is going to take place. So after all that is done, it's going to go back to the host, BSCS Landscape, and then you'll see the results. So this is a basic model of how CS Lasper works. So you've got your host, simple host, like Audacity or Jack Rack or something like that. It sends its audio, you select some audio, it's then sent to CS Lasper then sends it to an instrument, a C-sound instrument. Then the audio is returned back to CS Lasper, and then it goes back to the host. So that's the general process. So getting started with CS Lasper, the first thing you have to do is make sure that you have set up a Lasper path environment available. But that's how, when CS Lasper loads up, it looks for the Lasper path and then it parses all the CSV files that are contained in the path. Keep things simple, CS Lasper only works with unified CSUM file format. So you, at the moment you can't work with orchestra and score files, it's just .csv files or whatever you want to call them. We might add support for orchestra and score files in the future if people need that. So in order for CS Lasper then to load the different CSUM files as plugins, they have to specify some basic information about the particular plugin. And this is done in a special CS Lasper section of the CSD file. Okay? So, and it's in the CS Lasper section of the CSD file that you specify the number of control ports, specify the range of the control ports, you specify things like the name of the plugin, the unique ID of the plugin, and stuff like that. So every Lasper plugin must specify the following. You have to have a name, and that's just going to be the name of the plugin as it appears. You have to have a maker, that's going to be the author of the plugin. A unique ID, so there's an ID given to each plugin, and it should use a unique ID, otherwise there'll be conflicts. Excuse me. There is a list somewhere of the IDs that have been taken, or IDs that have been used up by Lasper plugins, but I've been unable to, I found a link to it once, and I've been able to find a link to it again. So I don't know, so you just kind of, if you have lots of Lasper plugins, you might have a hard time trying to find out which unique ID you can use. But I think it is available someplace. Then you have to put a copyright license notice as well. So if you wish to add controls to your plugins, okay, you're going to have to use a control port tag. So the name of the that's going to be the name of the control as it appears when the plugin is run, and the name is channel which CSUM would treat the data on. It's separated by a pipe symbol. So you do control port, frequency, then pipe, and then freak, which would be the name of the software hosted CSUM is going to speak to the plugin app. Then you specify range, which is just going to be a min and max, and that's going to be the value of a particular site, the ranges that a particular site is going to go from. If users wish the controls to respond logarithmically, they can add an ampersand log after they specify the range value. So here's some examples. This is just a basic source code for a simple gain plugin, because lots of plugin SDKs always come with standard gain plugin. So this is here you've got your typical CSUM code. Here you go. So this is the CS Lasper section here. Here you can see the control board here. So this is the gain. So the first identifier is going to be the name that appears on the plugin itself, and the second one then is going to be the name of the software bus. And we can access the software bus using this chan get output. There's other ways of accessing the audio bus, there's other ways of accessing the software bus as well. You can use a chan export as well, which will declare a global variable that will retrieve the information from the channel. And then we just simply multiply KK by AL. So I probably shouldn't show the equivalent C++ code because it's not really comparing like to like. But I'll show it anyway for the time. So this is the C code for a typical gain plugin in Lasper. So it's it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And that's it. So but it's not really fair to show that in comparison to this, because it's a different thing. So we the CS Lasper has lots of code as well. It's just we can interface with simple code like this. So that's a basic, if I can show that basic plugin. So if I load a simple file. Okay. So that's how that plugin will appear. Here you've got your control port gain, and that's the string that appears. That's where you specify the tag that's going to appear. And then the range is going to go from 0 to 2 for some reason, and make it 0 to 2 instead of
0 to 1.
So if we run it, so let's mute it. It takes a minute, so I'm going to mute it. So what? It's very impressive, isn't it? That's probably the most impressive example I have, thanks. So it's very simple, but of course you can do much more interesting things. We've got, let's see, we've got this code. Well, okay, this is just, again, a very simple reverb. You can go back to Audacity. So I'll just play the sound. Some of you might be familiar with that music. So for a simple reverb, probably not the best example to use a reverb on. But yeah, let's get John Cage out.
Invade areas where nothing's definite.
Invade areas where nothing is definite. So we'll put a reverb on that. Fairly large reverb. Whoa.
Invade areas where nothing's definite.
Okay. That's just a very simple example of just a simple reverb. I just want to illustrate that how easy it is to create typical effects that you'd probably find in most audio editors would see some. You've got a typical, you've got a flanger as well here. You can use a flanger. Yeah, so. That's blank steps, isn't it? Odd. There are some examples of plugins that you'd normally expect to find in any audio editor, but of course, because we can use CSound, we can do some kind of very interesting effects too. We can, for example, we can do a spectral, we can do some spectral manipulation of sound. We're using the PVS outputs for phase vocoder streaming. Do it with Cage again. So, something that PVS, spectral vocoder, or spectral manipulation is something that you might not find in too many audio editors, which is nice. It's nice to be able to have an interface for that. So I'm going to use this PVS blur opcode for this, which Victor wrote, submitted. So, Cage sounds good. So we can also do got a simple harmonizer. It's very simple as well. So you can select two different voices, so it'll do it'll change the pitch without changing the tempo. So I'll get something like
invade areas where nothing's definite. Invade areas.
So the code, the code is so simple for the harmonizer as well. What other effects do I have? It's also another nice thing that you can do with it is you can use your, if you work with synthesis, and you just typically, if you've worked with CSound, writing the output of a CSound instrument to a sound file. I know a lot of people work that way, and then they bring it into an audio editor, and then they change stuff and they add envelopes and things like that. So, using CS Lasband, we can just put in some silence. So I can just put in a add a synth. So this time I'm not going to process any audio. I'm going to generate some audio. So here we go. So it's just a simple. Another thing. That you can do with CS Lasband, that's kind of with other Lasband plugins, is you can add automation for particular parameters, which is something that only a few Lasband plugins that I've come across that let you do. So you can have, say, an attack time here, so you can put an envelope on the actual sound, and maybe a decay of 10 seconds. So here's our. I envisage that might be kind of an interesting thing for composers instead of writing into a sound file and loading the sound file into an audio editor, they can just generate the audio right there. Of course, these tools can also be run in real time, so I'll show you an example of this Jack Rack. So I'll just show you just a simple, I'll just show you the reverb again and put in real time the same. So, 1, 2. CSound has its own FLTK opcodes, which lets you load FLTK widgets. So using the FLTK opcodes, we can design our own user interfaces for the plugins. So it's quite nice. So I've got an example here. This is from an instrument Victor wrote. So now we can move away from the typical kind of slider interface that you get with the other Lattica plugins, and we can use our own user-defined interface. So turn it down.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. 1, 4. 1, 2.
Wet drive here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right.
1, 2.
Okay, so 1, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
No.
Brains, bigger brain size, we go crazy. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so it's nice, it gives you the opportunity to develop some quite interesting graphical interfaces as well. So you can move away from this just kind of somewhat limited slider GUI interface. So,
is this your contribution to fixing the problem of Lattica plugins being easy to compile on other platforms?
Well, no. It's really surprising. I compiled all the, the examples that come in the Lattica SDK on Windows. It's really much simpler than the.
So I just think with having FLTK widget suddenly appearing in there, I'm sure that's going to add some
difference to that. Yeah, absolutely. The only problem with the FLTK widgets are that if you're using Audacity, what happens is because it's not running in real time, what happens is the FLTK widgets are just going to flash up and they'll close again. So because you don't have the real time control of the Lattica plugins in Audacity, but it's quite nice for a system like Jack Rack, where you've got, you can set all the different interfaces here. So I think I've speedily brought things back on track in terms of time. So I can, if anyone's got any questions. Yes?
I have not understood how you link this interface with the last plugin.
This particular GUI interface?
Yes.
Yeah, well, this particular, I can show you the code for this interface. It's basically CSound code. This is basic CSound code. CSound comes with a set of FLTK widgets. So I've designed the GUI in CSound. That can be just run from the command line as a simple CSound instrument with a graphical interface as well.
But the LPO is a last plugin, right?
Sorry?
That the LPO iteration is a last plugin. Is it?
The audio, CSound is going to process the audio.
Yeah, it's
a
spring with a last interface.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay,
through the use of the CSound API, we can.
No, it's the user interface and the last
plugin.
Through the control ports.
Yeah. You can see that
this is how NC sounds. So in a way, the last couple of games, I was doing is with sending audio to C sound and getting audio from C sound. Everything else is done by C sound.
Yeah, and in terms of communicating between the GUI, the LATSPA GUI and C sound, that's done through this C sound software bus. So, and we can send data from the GUI sliders to C sound through that software bus.
Yeah, it's separate threads.
It will be run on the whatever thread the jack rack runs. Jack rack there. Jack rack calls C sound and sends things to C sound. So jack rack is the master of the controller of things.
Yes?
I've got one more question. If it's going to be possible to create DSSSI or DSSSI.
Yes, that's.
But my question is I would like to use traffic to sequence the context and set EDW to control stuff.
Yeah, that's.
Would you be so kind as to summarize the question?
Okay, I think the question was will we have support for DSSI?
Can
you
use
MIDI? And yeah, I won't be able to use MIDI. Just in terms of the SSI support we're looking into at the moment, hopefully we'll be able to, in software like RoseGarden and things like that, we'll be able to use these in RoseGarden. You have to also remember, because we're using CSound, there's a host of things that CSound can do on its own. So for example, you can be writing to disk, you can be reading from disk. If you're doing convolution, you can be reading files from disk. You can use MIDI because you can just use CSound MIDI for MIDI in and MIDI out. So you can route the MIDI in. You can control the CS LATSPA or you can control your CSound instruments real time with MIDI as well and jack rack running. With MIDI, yeah. So that works fine. Like I can use it with MIDI MIDI sliders and things like that. Or you just have to add in your CSound file. Just make sure you add the minus M flag for MIDI input. So that should work as well. Just
I suppose that now we can go a little bit. It's using LATSPA plugin. At the moment, you'll be able to say run it on your sequencer, send some signal out of the sequencer through ALSA, the ALSA sequencer, connect it into C sound. And they'll automate it there, that way using a LATSPA plugin. No, but of course, when DSSI comes along, then.
Yeah. Today, CSLATS has been used, we're using it kind of as a creative tool, and I'm also using it as a pedagogical utility for some of my students for digital signal processing. It's been fully tested in real time with JackRack and Audacity. With regards to future developments, DSSI support is something that we have to seriously look into. We'll also look at adding multi-channel support. At the moment, it just runs in mono. But it shouldn't be so difficult, I think, to add multi-channel support. That remains to be seen. I'd like to extend my sincere gratitude to Victor for helping me in the project, because I sent him some source code around Christmas time, and it was quite funny. It was a complete hack. And I think that Victor, he was so shocked, he had to take to edit the source code and tidy it up, so now it's quite nice. It's available, you can download it. It's available for download at www.ear.ie/cslatspa.htm. And there's no make file with it at the moment. It's just a simple text file there with instructions on how to build it. It should be quite straightforward to build. If you want to build it, you're going to have CSound 5 installed. You're going to have the CSound.hpp header file. So you just download the CSound source. It should be fairly easy to build. I'm just going to port it to Mac and Windows as well, and I'll put up binaries once I have them. But I think it's so simple to build in Linux that it shouldn't be a problem for anyone to build it themselves. Is there any other questions?
I can download C sound and compile it, and it should work. So that I don't have to work. I can get the plugins extra, so I don't have to have knowledge for a C sound.
Yeah, I've included, there's 7 different examples that I've included. And if anyone wants to contribute any more examples to the archive, let's just send them on to me. So it should be, I'd like to eventually just have a, maybe like, at 16 kind of standard plugins, you know, like flangers and reverbs, delay lines, things like that, and include them in the package. So people don't necessarily have to know how to use CSound to run the software. Hopefully though, people that don't already know CSound and they start to use CS Lab, hopefully they'll then start editing some of the CSound code and maybe learn CSound in the process.
Yes. Just one little like summary confirming in my head is the general architecture that you have this CS Lespa plugin, which is then going and loading the CSound files you're flying around somewhere else.
Yeah, okay. that's exactly.
So the thing you're compiling is basically like this wrapper.
Yeah, it's essentially just a plugin, mm-hmm. and then this one plugin loads all the other instances of CSV files. Any more questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Das ist ein bisschen ein Problem, das ist 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 ein Problem, das